Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The text from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. In the name of Jesus, dear friends. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, thus our Lutheran liturgy, or Divine Service 3, sets before us the proper preface. And it ends then with these words, as we join in the Sanctus, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabbath, heaven and earth are full of your glory. With these words, in our liturgy, we recognize that in Christ we are united not only with one another here on earth, but also with all of the saints who have gone ahead of us into the fullness of God's glory. That's why we say when we confess in the Apostles' Creed these words, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. That little phrase, the communion of saints in the Apostles' Creed, points beyond the church militant, that is the church here on earth, to the triumphant church in heaven, the saints and martyrs upon whose teachings and whose faith the church is built, and with whom the church on earth even now shares in the salvation of God. In a little while we'll be singing a response called the Te Deum in our liturgy. We praise you, O God. We acknowledge you to be the Lord. All the earth worships you, the Father everlasting, to you. And all angels cry aloud. The heavens and all the powers therein, noble armies of martyrs praise you. The Holy Church throughout the world does acknowledge you. These are the words that we will sing as we think not only of the saints on earth, but the saints in heaven. I believe in the communion of saints confesses that the Holy Christian Church is much more than a mere religious institution. It confesses that the church is much more than just a spiritual organization or a moral force. I believe in the communion of saints confesses that the Holy Christian Church is more than just very ordinary people who have decided to follow Jesus, but rather people who have been called, gathered, enlightened, sanctified, empowered, forgiven, made holy, all by God's grace through the gospel. Because He, God, has decided to choose us in Christ to be His people. I believe in the communion of saints is a confession that confesses the ordinary folks like us when gathered around very common things. Things like water and bread and wine are made into that kind of a people that has been set aside, marked, made holy by God in Christ. Called to use our resources that the faithful might be strengthened and that the lost might be reached. I believe in the communion of saints confesses that we, that is you and I, are called by God's grace to live lives of bold witness with a passion for Christ's mercy, and that we are by God's grace formed into what He alone can create, a people built up in Christ, the church. The communion of saints, a forgiven community, empowered to live in the world but not to be of the world. Listen to these words now from Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Why do we do this? Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Scripture often pictures the Christian life as a race. The Apostle Paul in the letter to the Galatians said it this way, "You ran well." Again, in his letter to the Philippians, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus." And in 2 Timothy 4, we hear the familiar words, "I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And so in this text from Hebrews 12, Christian living also is set before us as a race. A race, by the way, into which we have been placed by God in our holy baptism. And a race that will go on until we cross the finish line in the fullness of God's glory. And we should note here that it's not a race against one another. This is a race against the competition of sin. Sin that comes from the devil, from the world, from our own sinful flesh. Everything that hinders us, everything that entangles us, everything that discourages us, everything that threatens to make us give up living godly lives is that against which we compete in this, our Christian race. God tells us here that the race pictured can be successfully run as one continually sets aside the entanglements that get in the way. He pictures here the race can be successfully run as one considers the faith of the saints who of old have persisted in seemingly impossible situations, and as one remembers that the same one who strengthened them is here for us. This race can be successfully run as one looks away from self and away from all of the distractions to Jesus, the crucified one, who is the author and the completer of the faith which clings to him alone. As we live out our Christian lives, we do have obstacles, we do have weights, sins, encumbrances, whatever we might call them, that we need to overcome and set aside. Things that impede or get in the way of our Christian living. Perhaps even things that threaten to stop us dead in our tracks. What in your life might that be? What is it that threatens to get in the way of your Christian living? Is it your busy schedule? Your never-ending list of things that need to be done that never seem to get done? Is it excessive worry or anxiety about things over which you really have no control? Is it the hurt or the pain that someone has caused you that you're having a hard time dealing with or forgiving? Could it be your social life that doesn't always coincide with your Christian convictions or your professions of faith? Could it just be the hopelessness that sets in when circumstances or situations seem to be impossible? Or maybe it's the peer pressure of those who are trying to mold you into the way they think or into worldly ways of living. Whatever it is, whatever entangles you, whatever gets in your way, whatever slows you down, whatever wraps you up so tightly that it begins to restrict your movement, that's literally what the word means, get rid of it. How? You know, how do we get rid of these things? How do we get them out of the way? Well, my friends, we do it, first of all, by looking outside of ourselves. And first, think about this. It can be done. By God's grace, others have done it. Remember the faith of the saints, all the faithful believers who have persevered before you. We just sang about it in the hymn. For all the saints who from their labors rest All who by faith before the world confessed, you were their rock. You were their fortress and their might. You, Lord, their captain in the well-fought fight. You in the darkness drear their own true light. And what you were for them, Lord, you are for me. In the first verse of this text, in Hebrews 12, we have one little word, therefore. And this word refers back to chapter 11. And there in chapter 11, we have a record of many godly people who ran their race by God's grace through faith. Just listen to a few of these. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, Abraham, even though past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He considered that God was able to even raise him from the dead. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born. People passed through the Red Sea. The walls of Jericho fell, all by faith. And then the writer of the Hebrews says, and what more can I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, and these were all commended for their faith. Therefore, the apostle says, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, not in the sense of those who witness our faith, but rather in the sense of those whose lives, whose works, whose sufferings and death attest to their own faith and to God's faithfulness to them. Now, such faith as those of the saints of old, and those examples do not really give us that faith. They may be encouraging and helpful to us, but we have to look elsewhere. We must look to Christ. Look to Jesus, who is so much more than just a perfect example. He's the very one who gives us that faith toward which all the examples point. He is the one who gives us himself. The text put it this way, remember, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Luther translated the words, the beginner and the completer of our faith. Literally, the word completer or perfecter means to bring to a goal. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul's words to the Philippians, I'm certain that he who began a good work in you is able to bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, believers looked away from themselves, away from the distractions, to Christ. And they received from him courage and strength and power to persevere through the most difficult circumstances. Again, the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he said in his letter to the Philippians. Quite a statement from a man who suffered firsthand various kinds of trials and temptations, shipwrecks and beatings and betrayals of all kinds. And he could make such a statement because God, the Holy Spirit, had called him to faith through the gospel. He knew that his sins were forgiven because of God's promise in Christ. And even though he had to endure trying circumstances, he believed this. Perhaps he couldn't really fully understand or explain everything that was going on in his life. Who can? We don't understand all of the things that are going on in our own lives. But nevertheless, he believed that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And thus we believe. The Lord Jesus prepared Paul through the witness of a believer named Stephen. The Lord Jesus walked with Paul through his word and through the comfort of his friends. And the Lord Jesus was the one who was waiting for Paul at the end of his race. He was the one with whom and toward whom the apostle was running. And that's how it is with you and me. We are to look away from the various distractions toward Jesus, the one who has placed us in this race of life. I believe in the communion of saints. We are to look away from the various distractions toward Jesus, the one who runs with us through our daily walk. I believe in the communion of saints. And we are to look away from the distractions toward Jesus, the one who waits for us at the finish and says to each of us, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit on my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father. I believe in the communion of saints. As we look away from self-fulfillment and self-forgiveness and self-centeredness and the various distractions that entangle us in our daily walk, and look toward Christ's fulfillment and Christ's forgiveness and Christ-centeredness, we are also to point others to this one who loves us even to the point of death, to the point of dying on a cross, and who enables us to live forgiven and forgiving lives as we gather around the sacrament, the very marks of the church, and the means through which the Holy Spirit creates and sustains the communion of saints, the church. You know, we are never closer to those who have gone ahead of us into the fullness of God's glory than when we kneel at this altar and commune with the saints. The golden evening brightens in the west. Soon, soon, the faithful warriors comes their rest. I believe in the communion of saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which is above all understanding, keep your hearts and minds with Christ Jesus under the fullness of life everlasting. Amen.